Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. It's that time of the day of the week. It's Davey. It's the Depot. It's the Davey Depot.
Are you prepared?
I hope you're ready. Take it away.
Preparation is overrated for starters. That said, top of the morning to everyone out there.
Hope your day's going good.
To get things rolling, my fact of the day is that all teachers in North Korea in the 1990s were required to play the accordion, and one needed to pass an accordion test before getting teaching certification.
Why?
I don't know, man. It's North Korea. Can you really answer why they do anything? I mean, I feel for the teachers. It's not like it's the teacher's decision, you know. It's the crazy people running the country.
I got you. I
thought that was interesting. I bet you didn't know that.
I did not. I'll admit it. Had no idea.
Next up, we'll go to gambling picks. I went 3-2 last night, so I've said it before. If I could, if I had five bets every night and I went 3-2, I'd take it. So,
congrats.
Making a profit. Tonight, what do I want to give out? Give me Charlotte -3.5. They're taking on Cleveland. Cleveland does still have some players questionable whether or not they're going to play tonight. I do think that the Hornets, they're able to bounce back after their last showing. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm going with Charlotte -3.5. They are at home. Hopefully they put up a good performance and cover the spread. A lot of NBA
games. Feel good about that one?
Yeah. Okay. I was debating. I honestly, like, I've actually put my money on Memphis the last couple of times, but they've actually let me down. So yeah, even though probably from a confidence standpoint, Memphis +2 against the Pelicans is my strongest for tonight, but I'd rather just – I feel more confident, even though the model doesn't say it, going with Charlotte than I do Memphis covering.
10-4.
So, yeah. Also wanted to say this isn't anything, but the Preds are rolling. They beat the Lightning last night 7-2. Don't know what they've gotten
into. Are they like 12-2 in their last 14 or something?
It's not quite that good of a record, but it's up there. I mean, they're definitely one of the hottest teams in the NHL right now, which if I said this before, you would have expected me to say that a month ago.
Right.
I would have told you there's no way in hell. But yeah, good for the Preds. Glad to see they're actually rallying. They should. At this point, I'll be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. They're currently seeded for how the NHL is doing it this year to garner a playoff spot, but we'll see what happens once they get there. They didn't really make many moves. They only acquired one guy during the right before the NHL trade deadline, but good for the Preds. I was going to do, first off, banger of the day. I'm going with Fix You by Coldplay. Incredible song.
Great song.
I mean, that song by itself, not to start an argument, like better than anything Oasis has ever done. But
now you've done it.
Phone line's ringing.
So I thought I would try to do some headlines today, and I found one that I thought was it's a good headline. I mean, it definitely grabs my attention, but family of model left brain damaged from eating pretzel receives $29 million settlement.
Brain dead from eating a pretzel.
Yeah.
Did you read this article?
I actually did.
Okay.
Because I was like, usually if it's something like legally related, I'm like, well, I need to actually sound somewhat informative on the subject.
Mm-hmm. What happened here?
So actually, it turns out that this model, this happened a while back, but they just now got the lawsuit settled. She was in Vegas, and she had a friend buy her some yogurt. And at this company, they put a pretzel on top, but the pretzel was filled with peanut butter. She has a extremely, extremely allergic reaction to peanut butter. The friend, did not know this. She eats
was it not on the packaging?
I mean, it was like at a...
Okay, I got
like
you.
Like a little vendor kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so she didn't know that there was peanut butter inside the pretzel, and she suffered a severe allergic reaction. The family goes on. The story goes on. The family of 35-year-old model Chantel Gia Cologne sued Medic West Ambulance for negligence, claiming they failed to properly treat her anaphylactic shock. It was February of 2013 when she was 27 and she was modeling for a company at a Las Vegas convention when her friend Tara Reitz bought her frozen yogurt and put a tiny bite-sized pretzel on top. Gia Cologne, I think that's how you pronounce it, bit into it.
It's good enough.
Unaware, it was filled with peanut butter, to which she was severely allergic, as I mentioned. She immediately called her dad, who told her to administer her EpiPen, get to the medical tent ASAP, and send her friend to get Benadryl. What happened over the text, this article is not very well prepared. It says, over the text few minutes, meaning to be next few minutes, would have a devastating impact on the rest of her life. According to Reitz's testimony, per the Las Vegas Review-Journal, when they got to the tent just after 3 p.m., it was clear her friend would not be able to swallow the Benadryl. Her throat was closing, and she was turning black and blue. She said her rings looked like they were about to pop off her swollen fingers. The family attorney, Christian Moore, said that her phone records, Gia Cologne was in the medical tent by 3:06 p.m., but the medics didn't call for emergency dispatch until 3:11, by which time the patient had passed out and stopped breathing. Morris also told the civil trial that the medics only were equipped with intramuscular epinephrine injections, which they did administer, but neither had the intravenous version as required by state law, needed in cases of full anaphylaxis. He said the drug that could have saved her life only cost $2.42, and quote, every minute of Chantel's life has been inextricably altered. Sorry, I'm having to kind of change this up because the article's...
It's okay.
I need to figure out who wrote this. Send them a strongly worded email.
They probably couldn't read it.
Yeah. Every single minute since she walked into the medic room to a company that chose profits over patients' care. But yeah, they sought $60 million in damages for past and future medical expenses as well as past and future pain and emotional suffering. In their defense, Medic West attorneys claimed they immediately called Advanced Life Support knowing how serious the situation was. They claimed Gia Cologne's never stopped breathing or lost consciousness in their care, and they claim that nothing could have been done to have changed the outcome due to her severe allergy. They also argued that if found negligent, $8 million would suffice. But then this actually got me started. I was going to do more headlines, but then as I was reading this, so before the accident, apparently she was an aspiring actress with roles in The Butterfly Effect 3, Revelations. I don't know if anyone has ever seen The Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher and Amy Smart.
I've seen it a couple times.
I didn't realize this. I never saw the theatrical version. I only saw the director's cut, and that ending is completely different.
Really?
Yes. That one can screw you up a little bit. So at this point, I'm going to just transition. I don't know what actually has happened. I've quit reading the article after that point because I got distracted.
You said her family got $29 million?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's in the headline.
Mm-hmm. I'm always here to help, bud.
Actually, this is really bad. Apparently, she lives in a bed in her parents' dining room, fed through a tube, and requires 24-hour care, which her mother has been providing most of.
Jeez.
So that's not good.
No, it's not.
The family will use the money to move her to a more suitable home with her own room and special shower. They also want to donate some of it to charities helping people with similar brain injuries.
Good for them. Horrible situation, though.
Yeah, so...
You said you were transitioning to...
The Butterfly Effect.
Okay.
So this movie, this came out in, I think, the mid-2000s, but it stars Ashton Kutcher, Amy Smart. Amy Smart had a really good run in the 2000s. She was also the main girl in Road Trip and Just Friends with Ryan Reynolds. So The Butterfly Effect, if you've never heard of this theory, it ultimately is the idea that going back in time and just stepping on a butterfly could alter human history for...
That's not the butterfly.
It's not right at all.
What?
The butterfly
stepping
effect.
Stepping on a butterfly. No, this guy's so pessimistic, he takes the butterfly effect to stepping on a butterfly.
The dying... The killing of a butterfly could alter history.
No.
Then what is it? Please enlighten me.
The butterfly effect is that a butterfly flaps its wings on one half of the world, and that little bit of breeze turns into a hurricane on the other side of the world.
Well, I have been living...
It says the title refers to the butterfly effect, a popular hypothetical situation that illustrates how small initial differences may lead to large unforeseen consequences over time.
Well, the killing of the butterfly could also lead to it. I have now been enlightened through this. Good thing I didn't lead with that. Was the 2004, by the way.
It's okay. We're just
pretty well at the box office.
It was a good movie, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got Ashton Kutcher, who plays Evan Treborn. We kind of start off with him in college, and so he's got his childhood sweetheart, who is Amy Smart's character. I think her name's Kaylee, and her brother Tommy, and then the dude from, his name?
Eldon Henson.
Yeah. You'd recognize him. He kind of looks like he was a hobbit in The Lord of the Rings, but he actually wasn't.
He's in The Mighty Ducks.
I'm trying to think of what movies I remember him from.
He's also in The Hunger Games Part 1 and 2.
Hmm.
And Foggy Nelson in Daredevil.
That's what I remember him from. Okay. Yeah, the Marvel Netflix series Daredevil. He plays opposite of whatever Daredevil is. I forgot his name, too. It's been a real struggle. Charlie something.
Power through.
All right. So, in this
nothing
movie...
Nothing to it.
In this movie, like I said, preparation's overrated.
Mm-hmm.
So, Evan, throughout his time growing up, he has experienced blackouts, okay? And during these blackouts, he can't ever really figure out what it was that led to this event. So, but the film actually takes place a good part of the time while he is 7 years old, 13 years old, and then 20 years old. They kind of just go in like 7 year gaps or whatever. But while he's in college, he reads his child diary that his therapist basically said, like, hey, start like recording your events and maybe that might kind of help jog your memory for these issues that you can't remember. Well, it turns out that the blackouts are because he has the ability to travel through time and only really interact with himself. But as far as like his adult mind takes the place of his younger body. And so that's why he can't remember anything growing up, is because those moments that he can't remember, his adult mind's actually controlling his actions. But no matter what the guy does, things always end badly for him and his friends. Like, there was one example where he tries to go back in time. Like, his girlfriend's brother, very odd guy. I mean,
a bad apple.
Yeah. Like, at one point, like, he kills a dog, like, burns, like, Ashton Kutcher's dog alive. It's really rough stuff. They put some dynamite in a mailbox at one point, and while the dynamite's in there, like, a mom and her daughter happen to just show up at that time as they're getting into the house. She's going to get the mail out. Boom, it explodes.
Boom goes the dynamite?
Yeah. And there's like a part where like one time like Ashton decides to try to stop it, and like he becomes like a quadruple amputee because like it blows his hands and his legs off. But they flash forward. But he learns over time he's got the ability to go back and try to change these events for him and his friends. But it really seems that no matter what he does, everything gets worse. There was like one time where he accidentally, like, he's in college. Him and his girlfriend seem like they're on the path to do something. Well, he somehow, I don't remember, but kills her brother. He ends up in jail, and which I think they do a bad part of this, because I think while his trial's still going on, they send him to prison, which wouldn't happen. But there was, like, one point where he's trying to convince his cellmate to help him out. Like, a bunch of these guys, like, want to basically kill him. And so he convinces his cellmate that he can travel through time, or that there was one part where basically he goes back to where he's like 7 years old. And you remember the things you would like put a piece of paper on, and it's got like the, it's like a stack, and it's basically like a giant needle. They used to have them in diners where they would just throw down.
Yeah.
I don't know what those are called.
Like a check holder. Like once you pay the check, they just slap it down there so they have the tally at the end of the day. Yeah.
Well, he basically puts both of his hands and slams those down to where he's basically got holes in his hand, kind of like Christ would after having the nails drawn through. And so, but then he pops back to the present and he shows his cellmate that, and his cellmate like believes like he's some divine figure of some sort. So he kind of helps him out to where he's able to then go back and change time. To where, but then something happens to where his friend, who's the Foggy Nelson character, something weird happens to him. So he basically realizes this is the theatrical version. This is not what I saw. I'll get to the director's cut here in a second. So the theatrical version, he basically realizes he needs to go back in time and convince his younger self to never be friends with
his girlfriend
and her brother. And so what happens is he's basically mean to them. And so they decide to go live with her mother when her parents divorce, instead of staying with her dad to where he would live in the same neighborhood, whatever. And so they go their separate ways. And this entire time, he's able to remember everything that's happened from his past lives. But in the theatrical version, he wakes up and he asks his roommate, the Foggy Nelson dude, like, "Hey, where's Kaylee?" And he's like, "Who's Kaylee?" And so then, like, years later, he's like, he happens to walk by her on the street in, like, New York City. Of course, she doesn't recognize him. And so then that movie ends. The director's
cut. Yeah, that kind of left it open to, like, does he go and, like, go after? They were in New York, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like, does he, like, try to rekindle with her, or does he just realize that his life's been better because he didn't know her?
Well, I like that version a lot better.
It says, though a brief look of recognition passes over their faces, they both decide to keep walking.
Okay.
So, that's the theatrical version. I wish I would have seen that version, because like I've said time and time again, I kind of like it when movies leave it open to interpretation. Director's cut, completely different. So, in the director's cut, what happens is Ashton Kutcher realizes he's never going to be able to make things better. So he sees, there's also a part where like his father tried to kill him because his father realizes he has the same ability. So of course that's going to screw a kid up, because at the time the kid didn't know that's why his father tried to kill him. But he goes back to a video that his dad was filming when his mom was pregnant. He basically goes into the mind of the unborn child while still in the belly and wraps the cord around his neck and suffocates himself to where he's never born. That is what I saw. So the mom basically had like 8 miscarriages, and they basically like, he realizes the only way that he can fix these things for his friends to where they have good lives is if he is never born. But the cycle continues to repeat, which at some point you got to think, maybe stop trying to have kids after like this could be a touchy subject, but like I think it was like 8 miscarriages. So that's the version that I still think of every time. So that just kind of sticks with me. Like, that is dark.
Talk about completely different paths.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's kind of like Daniel Tosh has a joke where he's talking about the director's cuts to movies, where he's like, if you're going to give me a director's cut, at least give me something completely different. Like the Mighty Ducks, where it's like they end up losing the championship game, but it's like you go, the next thing you know, like Emilio's in the shower doing coke. The kids are just beating the hell out of each other. Like, get wild with it kind of thing. But
I'd say this qualifies.
I was like, but then after I saw the actual theatrical version, I was like, what the hell? Like, I wanted to see that version. So I kind of like, that movie like sticks with me for the kid wrapping the cord around his neck and suffocating himself.
Yeah, I'm going to say that one got turned down when they had the watch parties, like before. You know what I'm saying? Like, they get people's opinion of the movie. They were like, this was a good movie, but way too dark. And then they went with the happy ending. I did not know that about the director's cut.
Yeah, I would prefer the theatrical release.
Yeah. Have you seen that movie, Nate? Okay, just checking.
I liked it, but I don't really remember it, and Davey's review didn't really help.
Well, he reviewed a different movie. The director's cut version.
Yeah.
So
I hadn't seen that.
Man.
Just the original stock, you know, whatever.
That like changed my opinion of the theatrical version now.
Yeah.
It's like weird. All right.
I can see why like that version that I saw didn't make it to theater. Like, I think there'd be a lot more people upset about the ending.
Yeah. Yeah. What's that called? Like, the where they test the movie with a...
like a screening?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm sure that they did some, you know, screenings, and the results were not good.
There's another word for that, though.
Yeah, I know. I can't think of it.
Like, they do an advertising to a...
I want to say workshop, but it's not that.
No, no. You know, the most famous one of that that I think of is The Natural.
Yeah. They didn't think it was going to be good?
No, the original movie Strikes Out. And they showed it, and everyone hated it. So then, I guess they'd already shot the alternate ending where, spoiler alert, he hits a home run.
Well, have you heard the...
And everybody loves it. Now it's
in Ghostbusters, when they did that, the screenings, they didn't have any of the special effects. And people were just like... I think in between the clip, it would be like, now imagine a big monster is chasing them. You know, it's like telling them what to expect, and they're watching the acting, but no monsters, no CGI. It's like, it did not get good reviews after the screenings. But then it was awesome. Focus group. Is that what you were thinking of?
I think so.
Ed sent that. That's what I was thinking. I think it's focus group. I know that's what they do for advertising. Is that what it's called for, like, screening?
For those... tweeting at me, I realized Daredevil's Matt Murdock. I was trying to think of Charlie Cox, who is the actor that plays Matt Murdock / Daredevil.
Jeez. Getting a little testy about the... All right. All right. Anything else for us, Dave?
You got a couple minutes.
Not really. We have to run these together.
Oh, okay. So we're right on it.
Yeah.
That was depot.
I'm still trying to find a place where I can watch No Country for Old Men. Again, like, I don't want to give that one without seeing it again, even though it's kind of against my style. I really do not remember anything from the movie except for the bike scene at the end.
I don't know why.
Bike scene? Oh, yeah. Okay.
But that movie's not memorable.
What? Oh, my God. I love that movie.
It's a good movie, but I can't remember what happened.
But I don't remember it.
I remember everything about it. It's an amazing movie.
How many times did you watch it?
Oh, I've seen it. 5-6 times.
There you go.
Like, I remember, I don't know why.
I thought the acting was so good.
I did too, but I just haven't watched it once.
Star-studded cast.
I put No Country for Old Men and There Will Be Blood kind of in the same category, except I remember almost everything from There Will Be Blood.
The weird thing about No
Country... Are they both Coen brother films?
I don't know. That the weird thing about There Will Be Blood, or excuse me, No Country for Old Men, is there's no soundtrack. There's no music. So, a lot of times, you know... songs and memory are kind of tied together, so I wonder if that's why it's less memorable to you guys. I mean, I've seen it a bunch, so I remember it, but there's no music, no score, no, you know, no nothing. Maybe that's it.
There Will Be Blood is not a Coen brothers,
right? It's
that's
not
a, that's a great Ethan
it's Coen on HBO or... Max. No Country for Old Men.
I
have that.
I might be able to help you. Sad. Come back, Lamar. Welcome back to 3 and Out Fan Run Radio. I don't know what to do after the depot. Maybe it should just be the final segment.
What? No.
No?
We cannot send the people off with the depot.
It's not your worst idea.
Goodness. You guys getting excited about the NFL draft? Not all at once, please.
I tried to get us excited final segment yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Five I'm quarterbacks will go in the top 15 if I'm being asked my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Seems like it.
I mean, Mel Kiper has 5 going in the first 10.
I don't think that'll happen.
Noah Locke has transferred from Florida to Louisville.
Which one was he?
One of their guards. He's pretty good. Nate mentioned yesterday Walker Kessler to Auburn. That's a kick in the teeth. Hubert Davis will make $2 million a year at North Carolina.
Oh, Devin Askew to Texas.
I saw that. They also got the Allen kid. What's his name? Timmy Allen from Utah, I think. Yeah. And then they kept Andrew Jones.
That's a big keep.
Mm-hmm.
You see White Claw's coming out with a new product called Surge?
I did see this. It was put in the group thread. So this is essentially Super White Claw, 8% ABV.
Yeah, going from 5 to 8%.
Pretty excited
about
that,
too. What are the flavors? Wasn't one of them like a bloody orange?
Blood orange.
Blood orange and cranberry.
It's not real blood. It's the name of a fruit.
Really?
Yeah. Just want to make sure we're clear on that. Bloody orange.
Yeah, I needed that.
You called it bloody orange.
And cranberry?
Get him cranberry. Cranberry juice. I'll
go with the orange.
Getting a Tennessee noise? Fans will probably
hear that.
What?
Did you not hear that noise? It's like a whistling thing.
Probably Dave making some weird sound back there.
No,
that wasn't me. I hear it.
I think someone's whistling outside.
Out there.
Brandon or Rick. Can't count on them.
Thinking Blitz guy.
Can't count on them.
Yep, Brandon's out there.
Just whistling away, huh? Zippity doodle style.
So when can we get these White Claws?
I guess that's a question for me. Let me go back to the article.
Did you see yesterday that Rodney Garner said they had their best practice on the D-line? So some guys getting better. Look out.
Nice.
Taking a step.
They're coming in 16-ounce cans, too.
Oh,
that's
God.
Now rolling out.
There will be plenty of bloody orange.
Blood orange.
Blood orange at Neyland this fall.
Could be a good one. Interested to try that?
16-ounce cans at 8% alcohol. I mean, how many do you even need to bring to the with you? I mean, just I've only had three.
That's it.
you're drunk as a skunk.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, you're talking about almost twice as strong.
Yeah, and I mean, if you had three, it'd be almost equivalent to five regular ones.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Hmm. A lot less to carry around.
No, but they're bigger, though.
Some money.
They're even bigger, too. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
So three of the new ones would be like
10 of the regular ones.
No, that's bad.
It'd be about like...
I just guessed.
It'd be like 5, 6. Right?
That's double the alcohol.
Not quite double.
It's 5 to 8.
5 to 8, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. We could do the math, but
it's a lot.
I don't feel like doing it.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I feel like two, and you have a good day. It'd be about right.
And hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good to know. That's a nice addition, I think. It's like when Bud Light came out with the Platinum.
Do we have
just a little bit stronger?
Aren't there rules about
steak?
No, I think they're pretty good. They taste a little bit different because they're higher in alcohol. But they're okay. The bottles are cool.
Isn't there some rules about the limit or something? Like, are we good in Tennessee? We can have the 8%?
Yeah.
We are?
You can sell 8%. I think it's up to 8% in, like, gas stations and stuff.
Oh, okay. So that's why I went to 8.
The governor's budget amendment yesterday is going to give $13.5 million in a grant to build the new downtown Smoky Stadium. Downtown Wrigleyville on the way.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be good for Knoxville. I know people are arguing about who pays for it. But,
I mean,
but I think it'll be good for them. I mean, as long as the minor league baseball team, you know, stays.
Well, are they going to construct it like Wrigleyville and then just name it Boydville?
Hobbiton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, obviously the Tennessee baseball team will be able to play some games there, but surely we're not going to try to use this as like the, well, you wanted a new facility, so now look what we got. Because it's Randy Boyd, he's the president of the university.
True. Nah.
Should they rebuild? Should they just build a new stadium somewhere? Or do you think they could renovate Lindsey Nelson? Like, what's the best option?
Do we like where Lindsey Nelson is? That's question number one.
I mean, it's right there next to everything else. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from, you know, the football training facility.
I mean, there's not that much to it. I mean, I would think if you were going to, like, build a new stadium, I mean, you could kind of just tear it down and make a new Lindsey Nelson Stadium right there.
Right there.
If you like that location.
Or you could, I mean, or just add on and make it,
they just
got
the turf. I don't
know if there's much room to, like, expand, but what they could do is instead of the bullpens along or especially along the left field line, that like they can extend out the stands even more and then put the bullpens behind the left field and right field wall.
Yeah, I mean, they've got room there. It's just it's like a parking lot.
Yeah, they just have like parking.
They just wouldn't have much parking, which I don't know if they really care.
But then you had the patio area and left too.
Can you put the visitor bullpen just out past center? Just put a door in the wall?
They could. They'd have to reconfigure some stuff.
Yeah, they like to separate like your visitor and...
Well, the home's all the way down the right for the line. I'm saying put the visitors like straight away center.
Because for years they were talking about putting it across the river on the Ag campus. I don't think I like that. I like it, I mean, because it's right behind Fraternity Row, and I would imagine, 90% of the legends of Lindsey Nelson are, I mean, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Not all of them are frat guys. I mean, I'm sure that might be where it started, but, I mean.
Original.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying.
OG.
They allow non-Greek members in the legends of Lindsey, I'm sure.
I mean, of course.
I just like it being there for the students. Could you make it nice enough? Could you give Tony in the space? Could you give Tony V everything he needs right there? I think you could.
I think so.
I think you could.
Maybe a lot of renovations, but
it'd be cheaper than building a new.
Well, like the
stadium,
like the turf just got redone. Like I think you can leave the actual stadium, like basically the wall, the turf itself, and then anything else you want to change, just change it right there.
Mm-hmm.
I
agree.
Just keep the state like. No one has problems with the dimensions of the ballpark, right?
No, it wouldn't be. If they could pick the turf up and just move it to a new place, if that's what they wanted to do.
Can they? Is that easy? I don't know.
Well, if you can lay it down, you can just
pull it up.
Peel it up.
It's a lot easier to just keep it in place.
Well, of course, but I'm saying if you build a new stadium, you've got the turf right there. You don't need to buy another set of turf. You just take that and put it over there. I wouldn't worry about that. I just wonder if the space alone.
Does that road even need to cut through there, like would campus
the one behind
would campus
outfield?
Survive if you redid the whole baseball stadium and made that whole just like both those roads were just like dead end walking zone, so it makes it more of a walking friendly area coming up the hill and down the
I've
hill.
I've wondered about that
can
for
you
a long
close
time.
That road? I mean, like you
well,
close
I
it
guess
at,
you
the,
can...
you, at the parking garage. So like you could if you turned onto that road, the parking garage turn in would be where it dead ended.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't be able to come up the hill. They just
what is that Johnny
that
Majors
right there? It'd just be like
or is that
a,
Pat Summit?
Well, yeah, that's the thing is. Wait, are you saying cutting it off like at that intersection of like where the football practice facility is, and then the baseball field?
Just the cut through road, not the road behind the stadium. Obviously, you have to have that one to get back behind the frats and all that stuff.
Man.
Just the cut through road.
Because, I guess so, but for basketball games and I don't know if they do football game parking over there at that parking garage at Stokely, but just as far as park, I know they use it for basketball.
They let you get to the parking garage, but then just wall it off right there. It just become a walking area in between those two.
Yeah, but with it open, it's easier for people who need to get back on Alcoa Highway.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So it'd create more of a mess.
Out. Everyone would have to go out
on campus and everything,
and go
rather
down
than
the hill instead
getting
of
them on
wrap,
the edge,
wrap behind.
Yeah,
I think they can make this work. There's actually a lot more space there than I thought.
Are you looking at the map?
Mm-hmm. Looking at an aerial shot here.
Yeah.
They could absolutely make this work.
I mean, if you like the location, then they should just do a big renovation. If you hate the location for some reason, that is Pat Head Summit Street. Right, that's the address of the stadium.
Okay.
But, I mean, there might be room to keep the street back there and just add extra areas.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying.
All of that, like, left field, like, you can just get rid of that little tiny parking lot right there and just expand the left field bleacher seats all the way out, and then that would give you a covered area for weight room, whatever. I mean, you could make
it
multiple.
Does it need more seats? Like, what's the capacity? Obviously, it's...
Like, 4,500?
You can't get a ticket right now, but that's only because of COVID.
4,500. The big stadiums in the SEC are, like, put, like, 10-plus.
Yeah, when you compare to Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt...
I'm just saying, if we're going to be good, we might as well take it seriously.
Yeah,
capacity at Lindsey Nelson is 4,283. Record attendance, 5,086.
Yeah, I was looking at South Carolina. So I know they built theirs pretty recently. Theirs is 8,200. So is that would that be the sweet spot?
That's record attendance is 8,200.
At Lindsey Nelson?
No, at South Carolina. Capacity is 6,600.
It says that's seating for 8,242.
They could easily make
plus a terrace.
But like Ole Miss capacity, 11,477. Mississippi State, 13,000. LSU, 10,000.
Yeah.
They could easily add seats
down
the first and third base.
Arkansas, could, almost 11,000. Bama, 8,500.
I mean, they just have the patio seating there right now. If they wanted to add stuff in the outfield, like they could definitely do it. And if they needed to, they could extend that road. It wouldn't be that difficult to push it back and get rid of some of that parking on that side. I understand a lot.
That gravel lot you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just push the road that to that direction.
You're talking about the one kind of across
Todd Helton or going behind
it's like behind the right center field wall.
Yeah, that's the one. Is that the one you're talking about? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just a little gravel.
They use that
lot
for basketball, I know, mm-hmm, for basketball parking.
Well, they even have a place where it's like parking for like coaching staff and stuff that's right.
Yeah, that's
there.
That's toward left field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the little gate there and all the players and coaches can park in there, but I mean, again, like you could – there's plenty of parking around there. Like they could get spots or whatever.
Well, where's their like indoor area? Is it the one that's way down? It's the right – underneath like the right field, like out there by the kids' playground, past that, right? Is that where the like field house is, I guess is what I'm asking? Or is it just
– I don't know.
It's underneath
it. It is underneath that?
Yeah.
Okay. It's underneath like the patio area.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what is that then? What is this thing right here where my cursor is?
The playground? Yeah, it's like the playground patio thing.
Yeah, locker room, weight room.
But then there's stuff underneath that?
Yeah, locker room, mm-hmm, weight room.
Oh, okay. You said underneath. I thought you meant underneath the press box. Because they've got rooms and offices or something.
No, I mean, you could elevate that another story, put the patio a little higher, and then give them more space underneath it. It's not that hard.
If the original main portion of the stadium is all concreted up, right, which I believe it is,
mm-hmm, it is,
they could still just demo everything past that right and left field, just clean all that out and redo both those entire things.
Yeah, they renovated the right field area not that long ago. But
yeah, because they got those club levels up there.
Yeah, but I mean, you could.
Well, yeah, that's all concrete, so they'd probably keep that.
Yeah, but you could just layer it.
Is left field still the weird temporary seating?
Yeah.
So that's
what are they it's another kind of patio thing.
Yeah.
They have like Calhoun's patio, all you can, or you know,
really?
Stuff like that. Yeah.
I thought that's behind the left field wall.
Yeah, that's behind the left field wall.
Yeah, it is.
Now I'm talking down the left field
line.
Third base line.
Yeah.
It's just those temporary like all that can go.
Yeah, that's just
they should redo that whole thing.
It's just bleacher seats.
That's where I was saying that you should put in like stands over there.
Yeah.
Like
where's the visitor's bullpen right now? On the field? Out in the line?
I think so.
Just leave it there.
They're on the field out in the line.
Yeah, screw that.
Down the lines.
Leave that there. But use that whole third base side for a whole new thing. More mm-hmm seating. Elevate it so that there's more training stuff for the home team down there that's closed off during games.
I mean, if you take away the staff parking stuff, you could do a big deal out in like left center and behind the left field wall.
Really? I thought that was just straight to the street.
Mm-mm. I mean, there's probably, what does it look like? Like 30 feet from wall to the tree line? There's all kinds of stuff they could do. I'd like them to leave it where it's at.
Okay.
I like the location.
All right.
Yeah,
I like students being able to go to it. They just got the new parking garage built there.
The turf's in. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can play these games when the weather's messy. All right. We just got to – just need a big reno. Let's go.
Yeah.
Don't take it to Ag Campus. No one likes Ag Campus.
We'll come back. Final section. Final segment of the program. Appreciate you listening. If you missed any portion, check out the podcast.
I didn't. Been here all day.
Didn't miss it. I missed about three quarters of the depot.
Yeah, I know.
Me too.
Yeah, sorry. I had the non-satellite picture up of the baseball stadium. Yeah, there's tons of space.
Mm-hmm.
What is this space behind the center field wall before you get to the street?
Parking lot.
No, it just looks...
It's parking lot or it's open? Just like grass. Like a small area.
This right here. Behind the center field wall. almost looks like a building, like it's HVACs on top and stuff.
Is that right? I don't know. I'll check on that for you.
They have like equipment in there or something? Can't tell from the side if there's any. I don't know. Probably should know that.
Is that the tarp? Kind of looks like a tarp.
I mean, it looks like that area has a tarp down, but there's, I don't know. It's like, because it's green, but it's, or green-ish. It's not grass green, though, and it's not, of course, you know, this old satellite picture. No, I guess that's the turf.
I mean, you could also, instead of that little gravel lot there over right field wall, you could just make the road run along that and use all that space if you wanted to also. Just reroute the road a little bit and give you a bunch of space behind right field.
Mm-hmm.
I hope somebody over there is listening because I feel like we're coming up with some really, really good stuff. Just give Tony V what he wants. If we lose him to LSU, I will lose my mind. It'll be bad.
I don't know when this picture was taken, but I see what you're saying now about down the third baseline. And this picture doesn't even have the bleachers that I sat in a couple years ago. They're gone. Like they took those out. Maybe this. Well, the football team is practicing right here.
In that picture?
In this picture. So.
I mean, they shared it for a long time.
Maybe they.
I used to have to go up to the people whenever there'd be a baseball game and the football team was practicing, and Butch made it to where we didn't want people filming the football practice.
Of course.
Or watching.
Yes.
Just even watching football practice from the baseball stadium. So I used to have to go up there and tell people to come on, get on back down.
See, I think the first base side can't really be renovated unless they, I mean, they kind of just did all that. So I think that's got to kind of stay.
Yeah, I mean, you could like expand it a little bit.
It's like
but
underneath the playground. Isn't that where, that's what I'm asking. That's where all their stuff is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like where they work out and things?
Yeah, but it's not enough.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They just need to build out the visitor side the way the home side is of the field, but obviously not for the visitors, just as extra practice areas
and stuff.
And then they could repurpose the home side to where all that's game day areas if they need it, or just, you know.
They got options.
The bullpen is outside the field of play. It's just at the edge. That could stay, or that could be moved around to the corner where there's a little parking there right behind the left field foul pole.
Oh, they adjusted that then, because in an older picture, it was on the field. Yeah.
Put some stands over there. Let the legends get to the pitchers early while they're in the pen.
I'd be fine with that.
Oh, yeah. Great point. Yeah.
Like that outfield area. Ooh, I know that they just repaved that parking lot, but, man, that'd be pretty nice. All right.
Whatever it takes, we're a baseball school now.
That's all we got.
Get it done.
That's all we got.
One day closer. We'll be back tomorrow. The Blitz is next.